Hi, everybody. Welcome to the CW.
Welcome to the CW. Home of Supernatural.
Continues to
banger after banger after banger.
God. Like, I almost feel ungrateful now.
No, you're. I think we all appreciate the CW for what it does for us.
I think the fact that we were so early on our CW appreciation, we built up goodwill and credit with that fine, fine network.
Also, I'll buy a polo. I don't need you to send me one for free, CW. I just wanna own one.
We could probably make nicer ones ourselves.
CW Network merch.
They
look scratchy. Here.
This is I say this is
Riverdale
somebody...
undies only, I assume.
We've all worked for different networks and media providers, and I think we can all safely say this together, that the CW is the true home of college football.
Yes,
I know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you know what? You didn't fall in love with this sport. I mean, really, really deep, like deep in it love with this sport, watching a major night game. You didn't. You absolutely did not. Do you know what they did do? What you did do? You fell in love with like a JP game, right? You fell in love with the Jefferson Pilot game. You fell in love with
Wacom
like
Sports buying only the most successful oils for this night.
Triple Dave's,
right?
God, I miss the Dave's.
The thing of it might be like falling in love. There's more to falling in love than like, wow, that was one really great night, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know you're in love when it's like, holy shit, this sucks, but I'm still way.
Oh yeah,
it, right?
Yeah. When you go the first time, you're like, this is weird, but I kind of want to stay.
When it's like, you know, the whole date fell apart and the car broke down and you're being rained on and you can't find any place to eat, but you're still having a good time.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's
that's
bad, right.
Right. And you know what? This is continuing the fine tradition of off-brand college football providers who make you look at the sport and say, damn, I kind of want to get inside those sweatpants.
You know what the CW stands
for,
right?
That's what I think about when I think about these specific football teams.
That is right.
CW stands for Casey Weldon because the Noles are undefeated, baby!
Just listen.
It's always gray sweatpants season for CW.
My eyes are up here, ma'am.
I love that the Noles look fucking great, and the rest of the ACC is just crumbling beneath
the 90s are so back.
The fucking sandcastle that they're standing atop.
This was every single year of the Poppy Falcon regime.
Yes.
FSU is beating a bunch of nobodies.
And by the way, doing it with fucking flair. If you saw some of the passes Jordan Travis was like throwing into windows here, holy crap. Jordan Travis was on one. Keon Coleman made a catch. He made a catch in this game that was the most casually cruel thing I've seen a receiver do this year. Like a little like one-handed little whoop, 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 excuse me. Yeah, it was beautiful.
And 90s FSU was perfectly awesome. Like it didn't matter that the ACC was a trash fire. But it was, and
I think
it is.
The FSU team is more fun to watch, but
that might be true. I think it depends on which of the FSU teams you pick from yesteryear. But yeah, there's a lot of fun to watch here for sure.
There is. By the way, this is the best rationale I've heard for taking assets from the Pac-12, because stranded assets from the Pac-12 wanted something that made them feel at home. They're like, we want something that's kind of like ramshackle. And it's like always kind of falling apart, but not real falling apart like the Pac-12.
They're doing boho.
Yeah, they're like, we want like a fixer upper that it's gonna stay looking like a fixer upper, you know, something with some real patina, a wear on it, but one that's not gonna
a car that'll work, but is it worth stealing?
Yeah, exactly. One where the window's never really gonna roll all the way up, and the ACC pulled up in that like, you know, police cruiser that they got on auction, and they were like, hey, baby!
Here's a Crown Vic with one door that's a different color.
Calling our name.
You know we need Mike Felder on the show tonight, because this is telling me one thing. It's the Suck It On a Chili Dog song.
Oh, boy. Please no. Please no.
ACC is sucking on a chili dog.
Please no. Where do you want to... All right.
Dog.
So let's begin with the
most... We're going to start with the CW game of the week.
First, Spencer has to yell welcome.
Thank you. full cast after dark for men.
Welcome to the full cast after dark. Night bees.
You're telling me you didn't have a 50-yard open field scramble by Haynes King on your bingo card? You piece of shit.
So Holly has requested that we start with the Georgia Tech, North Carolina box score.
Because it's fresh.
Holly, what would you like to start with in it of the many options?
Rushing yards.
All right. Georgia Tech, 348 rushing yards.
New stat, second half rushing yards.
Oh, God. I don't have that pulled up, but I know it's a shitload. All right, Ryan.
Let me break it down a little bit more. Last quarter rushing yards.
The most recent statistic I saw, which was outdated because they got more than that, was from Brandon Marcello, who said, they rushed for 246 of their 348 yards in the fourth quarter. That's so stupid. That's so stupid.
They did this on...
defensive coordinator. Did they bamboozle here?
Oh, boy.
That'd be Gene Chiznick.
Chiznick.
According to one typo displayed on TV, which, you know, typos are whatever, but that one is it sounds fun. Also, this happened on Paul Johnson night.
Yeah,
Paul was in the house in beautiful baggy khakis as David Hill.
Muttering counter curses the whole time.
Yeah.
I can't believe I have to be in goddamn public with people looking at me. Ugh. But he got a show. He got to see exactly what he likes to see, which is no passes, just runs.
Happy birthday, Paul. Whatever that may be, I would never impinge your privacy like that.
To give you a sense of what 246 Georgia Tech rushing yards look like compared to the rest of their season, in last week's loss to Boston College, they ran for 248. And the only other time they've eclipsed this number was in their week 2 win over FCS South Carolina State when they ran for 268. This is like, I don't know how far back you have to go now. I suspect it's into the Paul Johnson era to find, all right, here it is. The last time Georgia Tech ran for 300 yards was in 2020 when they beat Duke 56-33. I mean,
yeah, goodness. So we should talk about UNC being ass.
And in true form, because I know somebody's gonna ask, in the postseason handshake with Brent Key, Matt barely got like a double chest pat.
Yeah, and he was out of there.
He's gonna have to draw on his reserves.
Max had it with this shit.
Oh.
Absolutely had it.
Well, he's probably sick of you and of Georgia Tech, given that this is the third time in a row UNC's been ranked and lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, the third year in a row. Yeah,
I love traditions.
I mean, Georgia Tech had a 10-point lead in this game with 11 minutes to play, and then they just didn't score again.
Yeah, with
that was their first lead.
No. UNC led this. Sorry, UNC led it then. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, UNC blew
the end, right?
UNC blew a 21-7 lead, and then they blew a 35-24 lead, and then they blew a 42-32 lead.
Everyone who looked at UNC at, you know, 4-0, 5-0 and thought, I don't really trust it. Yeah, you were right. That's,
you're
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. That's
always the right call to not
trust. You know the unfortunate thing? I think some of it was built around like, wow, they beat the shit out of South Carolina. And they did. And I have bad news for you. South Carolina's real bad this year. Like, beating them, as a Florida fan, I can tell you, beating South Carolina doesn't mean shit. It doesn't mean you're that good. It really doesn't.
Empty calories are still calories, brother.
On the Georgia Tech side, this from Bill Connolly. In the last four games, Georgia Tech has overachieved versus SP Plus projections by 28.6 points, underachieved by 29.7, overachieved by 26.9, and underachieved by 24.4.
My God.
And then today, at that time of sending, was overachieving by 16.7.
This is like watching somebody who can't control a boat. Just like... mm-hmm.
Well, because at one point, if you're just randomly steering the boat, you're going to be going the right way.
That's right. You know what? You end up going straight.
Most entertaining team in the country is all I'm seeing from these berserk fluctuations.
Thank you for
love more than team that can't control a boat. That sounds like extremely our shit.
It sounds extremely Georgia.
Yeah, by the way, thank you for putting the image of powerboat Captain Brent Key in my head, who's like, I got attacked with the wind. And you're like, you don't have sails.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, this is a lake. Awesome game. Totally incredible product. Thank you, Georgia Tech. Continue to be this way forever.
Thank you, ACC.
Thank you. The ACC saved today. Okay.
The CW was all that happened today.
The CW specifically continues to give us everything we're living for.
I'm excited because now Georgia Tech becomes an important point in Ole Miss's argument for why they belong in the playoff conversation.
Hey, Tech is 500 now, right? That therefore this is a quality win.
Georgia Tech is no shit. Ole Miss's third best win of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is also, by the way,
one of the SEC's best non-conference wins.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Georgia's gonna need this shit, right? If they hadn't won the national title, they'd be like, because
God,
Florida's
Tech shows up at 6-5.
Yeah, you know what Florida's only revenge this year on Georgia is? We suck so bad. Yeah, we're tanking your strength of schedule.
That's true.
Oh, I'm pleased.
I'm putting up a picture there for everybody to click.
Oh no.
Oh, no. Oh yeah.
This was also, by the way,
he's so damp.
Also, if you are listening and you wonder, oh, what else did the ACC do today? Mario Cristobal has kneeled and been booed 2 weekends in a row emerged.
This is a shtick now. This is a
yeah,
shtick.
No, it's a thing.
He's
yeah.
like, oh, you want me to kneel? Fine. Listen, we're going to overtime.
This is
fine.
A Mario thing now.
2 weeks in a row. Fuck you. We'll kneel. See how much you like it.
I'm not saying we should. I think we could do the entire show focusing on the ACC tonight. Truthfully.
Most of it. Fuck it. CW show.
Most of it, especially because Cal, SMU, and Stanford were all interested.
That's right.
Oh yeah, sorry. I wanted to get to the by reader request to get to one specific possession of Washington Stanford.
Okay. Mm,
yes.
What just to, as a little sorbet after the ACC feast. Opening possession by Stanford given to us courtesy of longtime reader Lolo Fanarski. 12 plays, 18 yards, 5 minutes and 53 seconds of game clock possession time. Punt.
Perfect.
Thank you, Stanford. Thank
Welcome
you.
Welcome to the ACC.
Yeah. So is this the time for me to ask if anyone watched Cal USC?
Sure, buddy.
We did.
I didn't. Because
we watched the last like 6 minutes.
I didn't have the Pac-12 network until like this far. I'm not getting it now that it's going out. They should just give it to me.
Can I tell you something, Ryan? You know what? Yeah. You know what I watched? I watched Spencer hack our way into viewing
right,
the Pac-12
into the
network.
Yes, the mainframe.
I have now seen the Pac-12 network thanks to Spencer's matrix manipulation.
We're Australian in this house.
I have one question about this game.
Mm-hmm.
And hi, Terrence. I know you were there, and I'm sorry that you were there. Is what happened at the end of the first half and the start of the second half really what happened?
Yes.
Okay, please describe it for people who, like me, who didn't see it, but will not understand it even when told them.
Can we make Terrence a speaker? Because I would love to hear how they announced this in the building.
We can probably do that. I have to figure that out. Spencer, you start.
Okay. So the first half appeared to end. Like, everybody's like, okay, first half is over. And then both teams left the field. There was some hubbub during the half where somebody was like, there was a second left on the clock.
But by this point, I understand that the Cal band was already on the field.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. And
they do that right
here. Yes. And when a Pac-12 band is on the field, historically speaking, you pretty much want to let them finish, even if they're not supposed to be on there, because that's when crazy shit happens. So Justin Wilcox hits the fucking roof
naturally, because he's like, can't you fucking count? I get it. I get it. Justin Wilcox was really heated this game for most of it, and he was completely justified every single time. He absolutely lost it because the refs were absolutely fucking incompetent. The Pac-12 rules. It absolutely rules, because you go to the judge and you say, I need relief, judge. Here's my motion. What do you say? And they look at you and go, neon banana, and then turn into a mushroom. That's Pac-12 officiating, always will be. So
commenter Brendan Adams notes the Pac-12 network is the West Coast CW.
Yes.
Only Cal could appreciate this much Kafka with their football.
So yeah, this was the trial starring Justin Wilcox. So both teams had to come back. When both teams came back for the second half, 1 second on the clock, Dennis Lynch came out for a 33-yard field goal attempt. You go, oh, well, that's funny. That's USC's kicker coming out. Haha, he gets to take the kick. Justin Wilcox fucking iced him.
Why not? You can't take that time out into the locker room because you've already been there.
You already took it. No locker room. This is the first time I've ever seen someone take a timeout into the locer room from the first
half.
Come back out and use it.
Surprise.
Yeah,
I have retained my time manipulation powers.
I so appreciate Justin Wilcox being like, oh, I see. I'm an absurdo fuck land. Okay, cool. I'm going to be absurdo fuck stupid. Oh, yeah, here. I'll call a timeout. Love it.
And then what happened?
He missed the fucking field goal. He missed it. Yes.
Woke up this morning, just found himself to be transformed into a giant insect, and was like, "You know what? We are fucking rolling."
You know what?
You have dared to tangle with Kang the Conqueror, Justin. And I will use my time shit on you.
Yeah, Justin Wilcox awoke and found himself transformed into an enormous bear. Yeah, that. So we're not even on how this game ended or what was happening. We've gotten to the end of the first goddamn half.
The bad shit would continue happening to poor Justin Wilcox, who he could only out weird the Pac-12 for so long.
The first half ending in the second half is pretty much the perfect end to the Pac-12 After Dark series.
It might be the end of Cal football. If Cal just wanted to hang it up here and be like, yep, that's it. It's lore accurate.
Sorry, we broke the time-space continuum. Gotta go now.
Yeah, it's lore accurate that Cal ended on a fucked up note when they lost. That's extremely Cal lore accurate. So Cal ran for like 250 yards in the first half. Jason, you were sitting there with me until late in the fourth quarter. How many did they run for in the second half?
There was one amazing thing that one of the announcers said: Cal has lost the ability to run.
I think it was Yogi Roth. Yeah,
it was so bluntly stated, like it was a
buff or something. Taking a poison. Yes,
like Cal is a spaceship and they have a system that is just malfunctioned. Like, shields are down.
Like when you get shot in the leg in Fallout.
Yeah, leg gone. And after that, they would start to run the ball, and it was like they would get to the line of scrimmage and bonk. That's it. They have lost the ability to run. And it just lasted like that for about a quarter. And then they broke a big one because USC defense, because the Grink was there.
The Grink was totally there.
They finally regained the ability to run.
Okay.
Aha!
We have added Terrence to the chat.
Long, long, long time EDSBS enthusiast.
Legend of Cal, time traveler himself.
Charity Bowl legend also.
I am not well.
What's up? Hey, first of all, did they ever clear that phalanx of USC students out from behind the bench?
No, I was but the USC students were very subdued through most of the second half. Mm-hmm. And then they were, you know, let's just say assholes at the very end.
Rude.
What to go back to the question we asked and didn't let you answer. What explanation was given to the crowd of the time fuckery at the start of the second half?
So USC completed a long pass down to the Cal 16 with either 1 or 0 seconds left. And then
time is a human construct. Yes.
Then the ref said the half is over. So we said, great. You know, we dodged the bullet. Then the the team tried to run off halfway. The refs held them up for 20 seconds of conference and then let the teams go. Then halfway through, I think between the Cal band and local rapper Little P's appearance, the announcer comes on and says, I'm not sure it was the ref or the in-stadium announcer, and said, there will be one untimed down to start the second half of to finish the first half. What the hell? So,
God, I wish there had been a penalty on it.
Suffice to say, you know, I think every Pac-12 team has had issues with Pac-12 refs. So there was a lot of, we will not miss this when we go to the ACC.
Mm. Oh, it's going to be different.
You're bringing it with you, pal.
Well, I mean, is it the devil you know or the devil you don't?
It's a different devil. I will say that. It's a change of scenery.
Yeah, well, I think we're sort of sick of the Pac-12 refs, even though, you know, we're kind of sad to see the conference dissolve. So, I mean, I'm sure there's no conference that likes the refs. It's just a different version of bad refing.
So there's a lot of insane back and forth in this game. It comes down to Cal scoring at the very end to make it 50-49. At that point, Justin Wilcox, hearing all of us yelling at the TV, opts to go for two. At that point, in case the refs have not messed with this man's mind enough, Terrence, did you happen to see the two-point conversion? Did you have a clear view of either receiver who was in the area?
Well, first, you know, we get lined up. I was right online with the Cal offense, and Justin comes sprinting down from, you know, wherever he was midfield to call a timeout. So after we got the first look at the USC defense, so I thought we would switch up the formation or the play. No, we come out in the exact same formation. And then I saw, us, you know, the USC defensive line collapsed our offense line, and our third string quarterback Mendoza rolls to the left, throws it towards the end zone, and then I saw a tip, and then, you know, I just sort of collapsed in a heap of despair after that. So I didn't really see the end of the play. I just sort of saw the ball fluttering to the earth.
Okay, that's good, because two Cal receivers were also collapsing to the turf because they had USC guys all over them, just blatantly holding them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is funny, because we also ran Jane Costin's pass interference offense for a single drive where we got three PI calls in a row, successively.
Well,
so we went sideline, 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 and, you know, just gained 45 yards that way.
Maybe Cal and USC will start next week with one untimed down against one another.
Oh, yeah,
and people just keep doing this into the future forever.
Fun.
So I may not recover from this. I may go.
I think that's okay.
You sound ready for a new conference, baby.
Yeah, sound ready for the CW. I hopefully will beat the Boston Colleges of the world.
I don't know. Boston College is pretty good now.
Oh, no.
Sure. That's 5-3 Boston College you're talking shit about. Watch out. You should start with somebody a little easier like Clemson.
I think our biggest issue is, you know, our star running back, Jaden Ott, really got his bell rung on a run. And then we were down to our fourth string running back, like everybody this time of year. And he was one of the three fumbles. So, you know, you can't really win games when you fumble three times in a row. So I wasn't really concerned with the two-point conversion, try or not try. We can't fumble three times in the fourth quarter and hope to win.
That said, if anybody in listening to this right now wasn't around for the 2008 housing market collapse or hasn't read anything or watched anything about it, and you're like, what was that? USC is 5-1 in the Pac-12. That's the best way for me to explain what the housing market collapse was. In the same way that is true, housing values were super high in 2007. That's what happened.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I was much more impressed with Penix when he was tearing us apart. Caleb threw, like, I think 8 or 9 NFL quality throws, but, you know, he was pretty, I don't know, didn't look like the number one draft pick for most of the game, except for some of the really nice 30-yard throws that went right into the wide receiver's basket.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks want to go high in the draft, and I think that's fine.
Yeah, notice, by the way, we all said about 3-4 weeks ago, like, yeah, man, it's Caleb Williams and Drake May. Guess what they decided to start doing? Losing. That's right.
Like, Washington didn't look great against Stanford today, although Stanford is embracing its ACC destiny early.
Which, as Mike Felder has pointed out, has been a terrible trial for NFL draft casuals, because this year you have, I like Caleb Williams and I like Drake May guys, and there's no other type of guys, and now they're both out of options.
Bo Nix going first to the Chicago Bears.
The thing is, with the Bears having two picks in the top two or three, you can just say the Bears take both of them, and then we're then there.
And then combine them.
We've solved the problem.
Share Bears.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for my voices now.
Terrence, thank you for being a share bear about your Cal game experience. We really appreciate you reliving that trauma and value it. So thank you for sharing it for the benefit of the edification of all, and go Bears.
We value your trauma.
I'm ready for the ACC.
I'm ready for the ACC.
Man, that's the saddest thing you said.
Like, I'm ready for the Grey Havens.
Right. Terrence, we're going to kick you out of the studio now, but it's not because we don't love you.
Thanks, buddy.
Go Bears.
Hey, you think they'll put Cal Stanford on the CW?
No.
God, that would be great.
No? Too good or too not good enough?
Not good
what?
Enough. That's not got enough ACC Network content written all over it.
Not enough sexual content.
Do you think this CW will move up in the depth chart by then as well?
CW probably stands for Cal Wins!
You know, I thought we were all going to be lifelong Kansas fans, and that was going to be funny for a number of reasons, but lifelong Cal fans.
We will get to that. Although that had some ACC vibes as well, but it is time to talk about NC State Clemson, is it not?
It usually is.
Finally, it's mostly
the CW game of the week.
What happened?
What happened is, if you look at the ACC standings, which again have no divisions this year, Clemson is above Pitt, UVA, Wake Forest, Syracuse, and that's it. 2-2 NC State, 2-2 Boston College, 2-2 Miami, 2-2 Duke, all above Clemson, who sits at 2-4 after 6 games of conference play.
Mind you, this was a preseason top 10 team.
And it felt like lots of Clemson NC State games, in that it was like, oh, NC State is doing well. That probably won't stay true. And it didn't stay true, but it just didn't matter because they held, I think it was on Clemson's last 3 drives, Clemson only scored 3 points total. And that doesn't win when you're down 21 to start. When you're down 17 to start.
I was just looking ahead at Clemson's schedule, and, like, you know, we can come back to this game, but jumping ahead, they have to play Notre Dame next, which scored about 7 million points against Pitt today. Then they have to play Georgia Tech, which is apparently it. So that'll be an
and that'll be on a Georgia Tech win week too.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks from now. Yeah, so
you're not
Tech
you're not getting them on Georgia Tech.
You need to schedule that. Is this a W or an L week, Ryan?
Yeah. And then you got
They're like that silly cart you see on train tracks that goes up, down, up, down.
Mm-hmm. You got UNC, you'll beat them, they suck. And then you're rolling into South Carolina with only 5 wins.
All right.
So Clemson, right, South Carolina is for bowl eligibility.
That we can't put that game on television. We can't.
There might be a fight beforehand that gets, like, the game canceled.
You're thinking about this game in terms of some horrendous Stephen King event that's a great psychic trauma to everybody who witnesses it.
We don't float here.
You know,
South Carolina enters with nothing to play for other than keeping Clemson out of bowl season.
And Clemson might enter with nothing to play for except keeping South Carolina out of bowl season.
That seems pretty easy because South Carolina will.
South Carolina is helping with that.
They're going to help with that. Yeah.
3 or 4 wins by then.
But like, how far do you have to go back to when both of these teams were bad? Because you have at least 10 win Clemson all from 2011 all the way until today. In 2010, South Carolina was good. In 2009, South Carolina was, I believe, good. I'm double-checking that as well. No, but Clemson was ranked. Clemson was still ranked going into that game, even though they lost. Like, this is a very rare thing. All right, here it is. 2008, 7-6 Clemson ends up beating a South Carolina team that finished the year also 7-6. That will be better than this.
Yeah. When was the fight year?
Oh, that was in the aughts. That was like 2000 and I want to say
2005. 2004.
Yeah. 2004.
And those were, yeah, those were 6-4 versus 5-5.
Six and four versus five.
That is what we're aiming for here.
Yeah. And the guy who.
This would still be worse than that because South Carolina is significantly worse than that.
Well, the nice part is that if they do a brawl, you don't have to worry about South Carolina's bowl eligibility. That's already been taken care of.
Yeah. So, nothing to lose. I love that the wiki page for the brawl game, in the info box, one of the main entries is referee Doyle Jackson. It really gives it a fight feel, you know? Like, here's tonight's referee for this bout.
Earl Hebner.
Like NC State had 9 first downs, went 3 of 13 on third down, and had 202 total yards, and still won by a touchdown. This is a wildly inefficient set of numbers to get you a win over a Clemson team in almost any year. Like even you go back to the Duke game at the beginning of the year and you're like, okay, a lot of weird shit happened and Clemson was super inefficient in the red zone and Duke did some stuff really well. NC State just sort of like, they hit some big plays. They hit one really nice play for a 72-yard touchdown. And they got some big sacks when they needed to. And that's, man, this is a weird, weird time for Clemson. I feel bad for all the year, for the last couple of years when it's been like, oh, 10 win Clemson, they stink. Nope. This is what it looks like when Clemson stinks.
One more schedule note. Just looking at Georgia Tech's remaining opponents, Virginia, Clemson, and Syracuse, that 3 of the bottom 5 ACC teams. So Georgia Tech could finish, 6-2 in conference. It might be going to the conference title.
Oh, hey, don't take that from Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is in the driver's seat right now.
They will need as well to, Louisville, Boston College, NC State, Virginia, slightly more challenging. So hey, Louisville, Virginia Tech could be for that spot.
But that's next week, right?
Yeah, that is, by the way, Virginia Tech fresh off beating that ass against Syracuse. You say, oh man, Syracuse is bud. Dino's going to get fired. Hey. Calories are calories. We return to this theme. One thing about the NC State game we did not mention is that Dave Doran afterwards, or as Joe Ovies calls him.
Just pause. Let us get all our giggles out.
Yeah, as Joe Ovies calls him, Diamond Dave Doran. The normally taciturn
Dirtbag Dave Doran.
Dirtbag Dave Doran with the strapping hand and the belt on his shoulder said.
Has no non-strapping hands. They're both strapping hands.
On game day, where Steve Smith was a celebrity picker for the University of Utah, where he played football, the former Carolina Panthers wide receiver made an offhand remark about it when he was making picks about NC State being a basketball school, as we know.
Not even that. He just said he said Clemson's not as good as we're used to them being, but NC State is looking ahead to basketball season, which, like, based on recent results, a very ugly 13-10 loss to Louisville, a 48-41 win over Marshall, which, like, you shouldn't give up 41 points to Marshall if it's a good year, but even though Marshall's not bad this year, and then they just got hammered by Duke 24-3. Like, it wasn't on its face, it wasn't like a ridiculous comment. But Dave Dorden didn't think so.
There's disrespecting them, their hills, and he's going to mine it.
Continuing the trend of this season, which is that anyone who says anything must be called out after your team wins.
Yeah.
Everything is personal. Everything must be, you know, everyone must pretend they're Dion.
Basically. Where's Phyllis Diller? Where's she at?
But yeah. Dave Dorden specifically said, tell Steve Smith he can kiss my ass.
Tell Steve Smith in the studio.
Television and you can
hey CW, hey, tell your employee Steve Smith.
Just James Bates there.
Then he was like, "Oh, I might die, but this feels great."
And they went back to you after he said that. You heard whoever is calling the game. They said, "Well, this is the CW. Steve Smith isn't here.
I'll take a message for him in case he stops by.
If we ever meet Steve Smith, we will tell him.
We will say, this, if I ever meet Steve Smith, I'm not mentioning shit about.
That's right. I'm saying hello, sir. Nice to meet you."
This was also the game where Dave Doran tied Earl Edwards for the most wins as an NC State coach and did it in like 40 fewer games as well. And I think that's why he was feeling himself. He's like, I'm king of NC State Mountain. You fucking fight me, Steve Smith.
Dave Doran feels Ryan's self.
Why yeah, not? I think he's earned it.
He has earned Ryan. I agree.
Absolutely. Tuck your shit. Claim your free Ryan.
Ryan, we have offered you up.
If Dave Doran comes to my house and punches me in the mouth, I'm taking this up with you, Holly.
Oh, I thought you meant as like a concubine.
I don't want to be a concubine. We've talked about this.
Benefits.
But he's won a lot of games. He's won a lot of games.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a Raleigh concubine.
Not the first and not the last, sir.
When you say it like that, listen, it's known as the triangle. Doesn't that?
Yeah. That sounds like they're about that business.
Listen, NC State, I love you. You're still my playoff pick. There is not a less sensual town in this country.
Yeah, I love that Dave Doran evidently thinks there's just a TV tube you holler into that goes back to the studio.
All of it. The TV people in
you
there.
You tell that man in the television.
Like, how have we gotten from tell Lou Holtz he's a son of a bitch to Steve Smith? Like, we're going way. It's only week 9. We're going way too. I feel like we're gonna get to the end of the season, and Pat Narduzzi's gonna be like, "I'm gonna fight God. You tell him to come down here."
I got God by Narduzzi. He fought at least some of God's assistants today.
Pat Narduzzi is picking some fights. Let's stay in the ACC.
After
a tough loss to a team that claims to have exclusive ownership of God by about 7,000 points, Pat Narduzzi then, according to a portion of the quote, said, well, we lost a lot of good players and we tried to replace them, but evidently we didn't. That wasn't the complete quote. There was another part of the quote where he said, like, and that's on me as a coach and blah, 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 blah. But the portion of the quote that made it out onto Twitter was then quote tweeted by, I don't even know how many of his current players who like might have been in the locker room sharing this quote, like, oh, word? Oh, really? Right? Like, oh, well, I guess we should have kept, you know, Mark Whipple, because he was the one who called all those plays that scored points that 1 year when we did that. So things going really, really, really well for the dudes right now.
Remember.
Listen, you can't spell Pat Narduzzi without trad new pizza.
It's so true.
That's true. Just remember, Pitt was wildly successful.
Oh, I got the worst one. Pizza trad UN.
Pitt was wildly successful, scored a bunch of points, had a dynamic offense, and produced a Heisman winner. And
Pat Narduzzi said, ew, gross.
Yeah, Pat Narduzzi was like, never again.
That said, like, the defense didn't show up at all either.
No!
Like, I understand the offense is a mess, but
not even good at the good thing.
But my God, they just got run and thrown over by Notre Dame.
This means I got to go back and look at Wake Forest Pitt to see if this was like the Sam Hartman revenge game, right? Oh, like, fuck you, Sunday. Pat.
Let's sit around on a Sunday and watch Wake Forest Pitt.
was it on the CW?
One.
Unfortunately,
I'm not watching
no.
it.
Unfortunately, no.
Then fuck it. It sucks.
That's right. That's right. I still can't believe this Georgia Tech score. Oh my God.
224 yards in the fourth quarter on the ground. Currently underway, by the way. A little update. Arizona 13, Oregon State 10.
Ew, those aren't ACC teams.
No.
We're not talking. Hey, if we're going to talk Big 12, it's time to talk Kansas beating Oklahoma.
Lifelong fans.
Kansas as a basketball school is an ACC school.
Okay, that's fair.
So we're allowed to discuss them. As a person who married into Kansas Jayhawks fandom and bought a home field Kansas shirt today. Aloha Bowl Kansas shirt with palm trees on it.
Stick shirt.
Kansas palm trees, folks.
So Oklahoma Kansas is an SEC ACC rivalry.
Yes.
Okay.
In this game, it was great. You had Kansas Jayhawks fans chanting SEC to mock Oklahoma fans. Imagine explaining that to yourself 5 years ago.
Even like 3 years ago, you wouldn't understand.
Like, explain any part of it. Like, Kansas fans are mocking Oklahoma fans. Why? Why? Are they winning or something?
The SEC champ in sport history.
That's also like, and it wasn't the wrong decision. I want to make that very clear. But watching Oklahoma let Kansas score the game-winning touchdown because they were confident that they were going to need time and otherwise Kansas was potentially just going to kick the game-winning field goal with no time left was just strange, was just extremely strange to observe. I get it. I understand it. I think that's the thing they should have done all the same. It still is extremely odd. It's not a thing you're used to seeing.
I mean, teams don't do that enough. Frankly.
Yeah, like, that's probably true. I mean, teams also shouldn't give up a 37-yard pass on 4th and 6 near midfield, which is what Oklahoma did right before that.
Yeah, to the bean.
I don't think that was intentional.
The bean kicked in. His line, by the way, this is an incredible line for a winning.
Jason Bean.
Jason Bean.
Bean is that like Jason Bourne and Mr. Bean combined?
The first time I heard his name on the announcement, I thought his name was Jason Beans, and for some reason that's so much funnier.
Yeah, I agree.
Sup Beans?
Go ahead. Read this beautiful stat line.
15 for 32 for 218, no TDs and 2 picks. Both, I believe, in the fourth quarter and potentially crippling.
Oh, the second one was terrible. It was like a pick on a screen pass.
Yeah, it was bad.
All part of the plan.
But yeah. Kansas stood up on defense and bailed him out.
It's a Kansas bean screen, folks. Sorry.
I think the thing is, scored too fast is a lie. Points are great. Go get them.
Okay.
Especially in the Big 12. This is to put everything into the... Just to put everything into the framework, Lance Leipold is a fucking sorcerer. Kansas is 6-2 after not too recently ago being garbage and not just like bad, just like being an automatic win for everyone on the schedule. This is
for over a decade.
For over a decade, yeah.
This is the second year in a row that they'll be bowl eligible, and they haven't done that since 2007 and 2008.
Yeah, and this is not like last year where they were like sliding into bowl season. This is like they're in like decent shape. Like they're you know, if a couple things break, they're in contention in this conference. Like this is
one of those things breaking was Oklahoma taking a loss.
Well, yeah, I mean a couple more things break, but yeah, that's a good break so far.
I mean, if you think the ACC is weird right now, the Big 12 standings are, we have 5 teams at 4-1. Oklahoma, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Kansas State. Iowa State and Oklahoma State started the season looking absolutely dead. And now they are potentially like, that's potentially a Big 12 championship game between the two of them.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Could we go double Farmageddon at some point in here? God. We could. We could, couldn't we?
We must.
Yeah. That is, by the way, the entire state of Kansas today was on fire because,
well, you know, sometimes you just phone it in. Sometimes you just, you know, crack a 40 there sitting on the sideline, ask your players to do their job. They won't.
I believe you mean give up 40.
You give up, yeah, crack a 40 in so many ways. A 40 was consumed by both Dana Holgorsen.
40 for me, 40 for you. 40 for you. I'm happy.
Let's call a deal.
Is that Houston Hail Mary still the only win a new Big 12 member has over a legacy Big 12 member? Am I correct in that? I mean, UCF has BYU no conference beat wins. Okay, that's the other one.
That's right.
Okay. Because they're have like... Cincinnati is having a terrible time. UCF looks not competitive. I don't know, man.
We might, by the way, we might really skip the Scott Satterfield half redemption tour that usually happens at this point in the season. Might just fast forward past that point in the business cycle.
They finally figured out how to get rid of this guy.
Agitating for new jobs. Or...
See, now that you said that, it's time for the patented Satterfield winning streak.
They've lost six in a row. You know the last team Cincinnati beat? Pitt in week two.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's good for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Luke Fickell left the cupboard bare is really going to like go as a selling point here. I really don't. Especially when your hiring was greeted with like, huh? Yeah.
with Tim the Toolman Taylor sounds.
Less power. I'm Scott the Tool Satterfield. Yeah, this is looking nothing but bad. It's looking, you know what? It's not looking bad for Dana because I'm pretty sure he's like, shit, burn the shit for the insurance money. I don't give a fuck.
Mister, I can't be fired.
Yeah, I can't be fired.
I think Tillman has enough going on right now. Just guessing.
That's fair. What other? Have we missed any ACC games? Louisville just destroyed Duke. Just absolutely destroyed Duke.
Right back to that. Hurt my feelings.
What? What's wrong with Louisville?
Duke football.
I know, but Louisville's like, if you're going to get.
I said the game hurt my feelings.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
But you hurt me in other ways.
I'm sorry. You made me Dave Doran's concubine.
Yeah.
How am I the bad guy?
That You're is welcome.
A prestigious position.
Saw somebody
it is a competitive position.
I saw somebody today on Twitter who said Dave Doran looks like he benches 405 in his garage and flip flops. Yeah, hold on. Does two reps and he's like, I'm out.
Just like shoving the kids out of the way, showing them how it's done and leaving.
Yeah.
You gonna take us to school? No.
No.
Like, no. I just did. That's all the class we need.
Hey, I just happened to notice, speaking of ACC teams, Ryan, I happened to notice your blurb on StreamYard here for those who can't see it. It says, October school spirit chair, comma, Maryland.
They need some spirit.
Maryland, you, boy. You lost Northwestern, Maryland. That's just a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what did you say to me earlier today that, it was Jason who said that, oh, you said something short and perfect about how
Thank you.
Pat Fitzgerald may have made the Northwestern job seem harder than it was.
It's evidently pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, for years it was like, my God, look at what he's doing. Oh, it's he gets so much out of that place, and he leaves, and they're 4-4.
Yeah, like and it's, you know, it's,
and they, and they, it's, they were like absolute garbage ass last year, but it turns out it was just him that was garbage ass.
They are also doing the Georgia Tech thing where they're going loss win, loss win, loss win, loss win. So they're going to lose to Iowa, beat Wisconsin, lose to Purdue, and beat Illinois, which that all seems possible, frankly.
Yeah, and then they're bowling.
Yeah.
This team that was like, I mean, you want to talk about written off. Like, this is the most written off team coming into the season, and then it turns out, no, it was just the weird guy in the shorts who was holding them back.
In all of their wins, they have scored, I'm sorry, no, in the Howard win, they didn't do this, but in their three FBS wins, they have scored at least 33 points. And that seems like extremely un-Northwestern.
Yes.
Northwestern was sort of like fancy Iowa for a little bit.
Yes.
Petty Four Iowa.
Not even Petty Four Iowa, like Sharper Image Iowa.
People like Petty Fours.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Airport.
I think I would call them like Little Iowa.
Ooh.
Okay.
They're gonna go to
what's like the version of like an owlet, an Iolet?
Yeah,
Iolet.
Yeah,
an Iowa. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to see any ACC games we haven't discussed yet. So South Carolina, we didn't really touch on.
that's an
South
ACC
Carolina
team
is the
too,
only
yeah.
other ACC school.
That's correct.
They lost to Texas A&M
in a very normal game.
Super normal. Nothing weird about it.
Like. I still don't understand how Texas A&M and South Carolina just played a normal game.
Yeah, that's how bad South Carolina
is. That
is
like
this
when
year.
You add is that like when you multiply negative numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. South Carolina lost to Florida and they played a normal game against A&M. They're sick. They don't feel well. Something's wrong.
So like, yeah, Aggies, did you watch this game? Like, what's the catch?
Yeah, the interview, like in case you want to know whether Shane Beamer knows what's happening to his team, every single interview is him going, Spencer Rattler's doing a lot of really good stuff out there. We just need somebody to step up. Somebody, anybody, any like, one of you motherfuckers.
Like he's shouting through time, please help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No, he's in the room at the end of Interstellar, just tapping out little dust signals of like, recruit a wideout. Recruit a wideout.
South Carolina's got wideout. That's not the problem.
Recruit one lineman.
The way he talks about his players is basically like, we are who we are, man. Like, me saying mean stuff isn't going to make anyone turn into anyone else. So, like, it's very opposite of Narduzzi.
Yeah, he's, you know? Pat Narduzzi with therapy.
No, listen, he's
opposite of Pat Narduzzi.
He's second semester dad. I don't know if you're familiar. Like, first semester dad is, and I'm familiar with this because I do this. First semester dad is, okay, well, listen, we're going to do all of our homework. Everybody's going to be in bed, and we're going to be here. And second semester dad is like, I need you to just please motivate yourself. Please do one thing by yourself.
Y'all got this.
So, y'all got this. I know you do. Holy Christ, I'm so tired. Yeah.
I do have one question about this game, which I only saw the tail end of. But this is what the play-by-play sequence says on ESPN, so it could be wrong. On the very last drive that Texas A&M had, they started at the South Carolina 22 because they'd recovered a fumble. And it says they called two runs and then they called a timeout. I'm guessing that's wrong. And I'm guessing South Carolina was actually the one calling timeout, but maybe they didn't have any at that point. And then on 4th-and-3 with 21 seconds left at the South Carolina 15, they ran the ball again for 5 yards. Like they converted on 4th down. And I don't understand why that happened.
If anyone understands this, please leave a comment.
They were up 13. They didn't need the. They didn't need. Yeah, like that's all.
Just confusing. There were a couple of. It was not. I will say this. That's a good word for today. There were some thrilling games and some interesting things, but on the whole, everything.
And then there was Penn State, Indiana. We saw it. Penn State. Penn State. I tried really hard to explain that maybe James Franklin wasn't a piece of shit when Spencer went on his tirade during the regular show last week. I didn't have to do that. I don't get paid extra for doing that. Nobody thanked me for doing that. And then you fart around and almost lose to Indiana. How fucking dare you, Penn
this
State?
This is a normal Indiana game, though.
It was a this is
every Indiana game against the top 10.
This year? Not no. this year.
Of the past decade plus.
How's this? They played a classic today. They've been doing their new
Indiana.
They've been doing their new stuff lately, and people weren't really feeling it.
This is the closest game that they have had against a Big Ten opponent all year.
This year, sure.
They played a lot this year.
Every Indiana game against the top 10 team of the past decade or so. This game has happened over and over and over and over and over. Once a year, twice a year.
Counterpoint. The number of points Indiana scored against Penn State in this game, in four quarters of this game, was 24. The number of points that Indiana scored against Akron in four quarters was 17.
Yeah, is Akron a top 10 team?
Maybe.
In your opinion?
Maybe. I was going
to
say.
Maybe.
Well, if they were, then Indiana would have barely lost to them after leading them at halftime, because that's what Indiana does against every top 10 team.
Fucking Penn State.
Yeah, so you need
stupid
to know
donkeys.
Yeah, this is the key. At 2:56 left in the fourth, Penn State gets the ball back, and it's tied 24-24. In three plays, they move 78 yards, including a 57-yard bomb, because, oh, look, Penn State can throw the ball down the fucking field. And they complete it for a TD and pull away by one score. But, you know, it's cool. Indiana's got a minute 46. We can see some of that nine Indiana magic comeback. Come on, play a classic here, all right? And Indiana gets sacked for a safety. Now, you might notice, by the way, that's first and 10 at the Indiana 25, and Brendan Sorsby was sacked for a safety. Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Indiana did not lose this game. They imploded. Okay, like the Coast Guard lost contact with them quick.
Hey, nobody looked directly at it. But speaking of which, Oregon, you good?
Oregon or Oregon State?
Oregon State?
Because Oregon was very good.
Oregon was superb.
Oregon State, team I'm looking at right now.
Yeah, Oregon State, listen, again, it's in Arizona. It's late.
Yeah, it's just not a canon event.
To be clear, yeah. I love that Arizona keeps doing this. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is DLC. Whenever you play in Arizona, it's Pac-12 DLC.
Yeah, if you try to load this without the mods, achievements won't be eligible.
Never play in the Arizona level.
It probably
mods.
Won't save, right?
Arizona State beat Wazoo by 11 today.
Yeah, none of this Arizona shit's not real.
It's a big win for Kenny Dillingham, though. Like, congratulations to all of our Arizona State people. That's the good shit. Congratulations. Did you see any of Washington Stanford?
Yes. I saw Stanford drop a easy trick play fourth and two conversion to effectively lose the game after they picked off Washington in the end zone when they were down, 2 points, I think?
Yeah, Stanford gradually improving? I mean, I'm not saying like, ooh, yeah. Turning it around. No,
yeah,
coming along.
Yeah.
I mean, they had nearly 500 yards of offense.
I mean, does the Pac-12 have any like actually bad teams? I don't think so.
I mean, Utah's just run out of players, you know? Like that's you can only spin so many plates before you start losing them.
With due respect to our friend Terrence, Cal might be actually bad. I just think USC is also bad.
Yeah, USC is stealthy back.
Cal entered the day 64th in the computer composite and then dumped about a million points on USC. Granted, those are adjusted for USC, but...
Yeah. Hey, Holly, I wanted to congratulate you on an outstanding win over Kentucky.
Oh, God bless long COVID, man. I slept through the last three quarters of that thing. What happened?
Y'all won on a
defensive... I woke up just long enough to see two more injuries on two consecutive plays and grumbled and went back to sleep.
That was
y'all won on a clock runoff.
Oh, yeah. That is what happened. That is what happened.
But listen, it's Kentucky at night. I'm just happy
to
be alive.
Take it.
Happy to get out alive.
Tennessee ran the ball really well in this game, I will say.
I said this a couple weeks ago. And tonight it was more of a two-headed game. I love that little three-headed running back situation they've got going. I cannot remember the last time I was this fond of a running back room. But they're doing great, and they're running. I mean, y'all, they had Squirrel White out there blocking tonight. His name is Squirrel. He's not large. Like, they are the guys who remain are blocking their asses off. And I think that is lovely. And it's Kentucky. I'm just glad to escape alive. I heard there was – this is – I don't generally think that the SEC has worse refs than other – than other conferences. We've talked in past years how we thought the SEC was actually getting away pretty cleanly, all things considered, because there were fewer refs in the conference whose names we knew. This new crop of SEC refs, after the last ones retired, they're all kind of funny looking, and they have some real weird ideas about holding just as a group. And Wes Rucker said this earlier tonight, if holding calls are unevenly distributed and always will be, but if Josh Heupel doesn't get a holding call to go his way, I'm concerned his head may explode Mars Attack style on the sideline. I didn't see this.
That'd be a huge explosion, too, because he got a big old noggin.
Holly got into the medical ketamine. No, motherfucker, I'm sick. I would love the med. Can I tell you something? My doc. Okay, listen. This
all
is
ketamine
a real
is content. Medical.
No, listen. My GP actually recommended that I try ketamine. Like, it's being recommended to treat some long COVID symptoms. But the website he sent me to, which is allegedly another doctor, is like, the guy's website name is like magicaldrg.com.
Sure. Yep.
Or something. I'm like, this is
nope,
not
real. That's a cop.
This that's is a cop. Real? Anyway, it'll be fun.
Cops have good shit.
The banger game of the day, I would argue, was, and I didn't watch that much of it, unfortunately, was Memphis North Texas.
Ooh, yes.
A game where, I want to get this right. Memphis jumped out to a 31-7 lead and then found themselves with less than a minute to play down 42-38 and still managed to win with a 35-second, 75-yard touchdown drive.
Coach Hall, can you talk about the what an up and down day for your team? How do you motivate these guys to keep going after this setback?
Well, you just got to say this, that it was a good gig. We had some good jams. The crowd was into it. At the end, the encore didn't go well, so really we're just gonna go back and jam a little bit and sort of iron out the kinks. That's really how you keep them motivated. You just go, hey man. We'll just get back to the studio.
Thank you, Prog Rocker 630, for suggesting our new sponsor, totallylegalketamine.com.
Memphis had 600 yards in this game, and North Texas had 591.
Now that's football.
It's fucking perfect.
North Texas SMU coming up soon. SMU, which dropped, was it an even
69?
Yeah, and even 69-10 on Tulsa today.
Yeah,
good lord! After 55 on Temple, this is SMU's second 69 of the year.
Is
I'm referring to scoring totals. Yes,
this is more than a trend.
I see what you're going for here.
Yeah, trend. Yeah, like
this is less than a trend.
And 10, of course, is the masturbation number.
Maybe it's 5.
So 10 is masturbating twice.
Yeah, I guess.
High five.
Okay.
Low five. It's a low five.
That sounds very low five. Yeah.
Typically. you might have an inversion.
I'm on table. An inversion table, yeah.
It's fine. It's
fine. I like it when the blood rushes to my other head. Yeah.
It's five it's like, and a half, and that's
like
totally average.
See if I can get it done before I pass out.
I like the race against time element here. It's good.
Hurry! Your body is an hourglass.
I'm fading fast.
For various reasons, I didn't watch Ohio State Wisconsin, and I feel like Ohio State probably appreciates that.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to notice. Not
okay.
Totally. Yeah.
Cool.
They're just trying.
It wasn't a bad performance. I mean, it was. It took them a while to find the end zone.
Sounds like something I'll have to investigate.
But
no, I mean, again, Ohio State's defense, as an apparent Ohio State propagandist, that defense. Don't look at the offense. That defense. The offense played fine too. Just three turnovers.
I think, yeah, okay, yeah, I think you're right. I was gonna say, like, I don't know if they've played any awesome offenses, but Notre Dame can be very good on offense, and Penn State kind of has an offense. I don't know. The Wisconsin offense, I'm not totally sold on, especially because Braylon Allen got hurt in this game, didn't play in the second half.
Yeah, but holding anybody to 10, we'll take it.
Okay, that's
me
fine.
And my beloved Buckeyes.
That's fine. And you know what? The next three games are not going to test this theory much. Rutgers, Michigan State, and Minnesota.
Oh, man. The defense is going to look so good.
Boy.
I'm going to test something.
Yeah.
It's going to test PJ Fleck's ability to motivate his team like the professional he is.
Not your best.
I don't even want to know. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about the cocktail party.
All right. Sure.
Yeah. The better team won by a lot. Ta-da.
This is the most boring, non-eventful cocktail party I have ever heard of.
It's fine. Florida didn't get shut out and scored a number of points that when you look back at it, it'll be fine. That's it.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. We're on to whatever next week is. LSU.
It's not LSU.
Who do we play next week?
Close.
It's Missouri next week.
Also close.
Yeah, we can't all be playing Missouri next week.
So you've got it bracketed.
Okay.
Just zero in. It's Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Oh God.
Oh, physically.
Oh, Conk.
You're fine.
Shut up.
No, we're fine. I'm just like.
Oh, great. I'm gonna listen to you pour mouth in your team against Arkansas all week.
Arkansas is
gonna shit the bed against Arkansas. It'll be so.
So after Arkansas, you got LSU, Mizzou, and Florida State.
In the face.
It's fine.
Are you going to make a bowl? You're 5-3.
I don't know.
Hey, Florida made a bowl last year, and it wasn't fun. Sometimes it's not a good thing.
Yeah,
Florida
fuck that shit.
Proud history in the Birmingham
Bowl. Like, the thing about making a bowl is then you have to go play it.
Yeah, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I think it's when you're on that 5-6 line, you're not going to go to a good bowl.
No. And you might get paired up with a team that's super excited to make a bowl game.
Yeah, you're going to face some 9-3 team from the AAC or whatever that really wants to claim a quote-unquote power conference win.
Florida's going to lose to Georgia Tech in a bowl game is what's going to happen.
Don't do that. odd number game.
Oh, wait. Is it, though, because of off weeks?
Do those count?
I think they do. Well, it depends on when it's scheduled.
Their bye week will factor in, which means that'll throw the whole thing off as well.
Fuck.
Wait, what if you have players involved in are there senior bowls of any kind in between here and there?
Maybe.
There's usually like a bowl week competition, like who can eat the most yogurt and whatever.
Right.
Who can?
What is this disgusting competition? Who can eat the most yogurt?
The fucking yogurt bowl, you know.
Can we combine this with the Texas Bowl and create the Yogurt Rodeo?
All right, we're going to find out who can give Gronk the most kisses in the L.A. Bowl.
It's me.
Not you, because Dave Doran has plans for you.
That's right. Oh, man. He's going to give me to Steve Smith as a present.
My little onion blossom.
I've never felt so disrespected, and I've been doing this show a long time.
If you weren't hot, the joke wouldn't work.
I don't think that's true.
Been a lot of disrespect, too, but this...
Well, get unhot, and get unyoked, and we'll find out.
We do also have a very excellent game going on in the Mountain West right now. Fresno State leading UNLV 21-17, both of these teams 6-1 right now. And the winner probably should be ranked, while somebody else should not. You can pick who the somebody else is. Not JMU, who won today, although it was close.
Sadly, JMU won't be ranked in the CFP rankings, but...
The fucking haters abide. I got pulled into, like, an internal JMU Twitter war yesterday. I don't know how exactly.
Do they have enough people to do that? Are they all writers?
Yeah, it was like... I don't even know what started it, but I was in a Twitter canoe about... some JMU fans that were very mad at one another for I still don't know what, and I hope they worked it out.
Wait, there are unhappy JMU fans right now?
I don't know.
But they're like, we should be more awesome?
I think it's more about like how angry and how how hard we should be fighting the powers that be for not
should we be
JMU
storming Indianapolis for this injustice?
Right. It's not about like federalism.
No, not to my knowledge.
Boring.
It could be though.
We should tell them. We should just identify a random person we don't like and be like, "That's the NCAA's offices. You guys should go beat him up. Why don't you ask for Steve? We hate Steve."
Spencer, you know this is swatting, right?
Which, no. Did I just invent something?
No, you
surely
didn't
no one's thought of this before.
No, you didn't.
You didn't invent anything.
You can just go to the NCAA's headquarters. That's fine.
It's fine. Oh, is Nebraska good now?
Nebraska's fine now.
It's pretty funny if they are. So yeah,
they're like, 5-3, which is it's not bad.
They're 5-3, and their remaining schedule is Michigan State, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa. Nebraska last went to a bowl game when? 2016.
That's
it
so
has been
long ago.
4, 5, 6. This is year 7 without a bowl game, and like they're almost certainly going to get there. Let me put it this way: if they don't win one of these last 4 games, if they don't beat Michigan State next week, something very catastrophic has happened down the stretch.
Yeah.
Maxed?
That's like pretty, I mean,
that's pretty good. Yeah,
that's pretty good for Matt Rhule's first year, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's outstanding. Consider that's better than any year Scott Frost had. Any of them.
Yeah,
with all the support, love, and care in the world.
It's about a record. Yeah, there, I mean, one of those like insanely unlucky Frost teams might have been better at football but not at winning games, to the extent that these two things are distinct.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a great first year.
Yeah, I think it was the 2021 team that was
quite possibly the most cursed team in the history of college football.
Yes, that's the team that lost like every game by 4 points or some shit.
Scott Frost is still so mad in his bunker somewhere.
I didn't realize Lutheran God was that spicy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One score losses that year.
And the other was by nine.
And
a 49-point win over Northwestern. who now is just finds it easy to be good.
Yeah, it's no problem. All you have to do is get rid of Pat Fitzgerald.
Yeah. That's like Pat's like, I hope they're doing this for me. And they're coming in after every win being like, hey man, it's great we've always been this way.
All you have to do is abolish one cop.
On the flip side, is Baylor bad?
Pretty bad.
Baylor bad.
What happened there?
Okay.
Yeah.
No, Baylor, really, what happened there?
So there is a theory that Joey McGuire took all the recruiting magic with him to Texas Tech.
Because like I don't think that Dave Aranda forgot how to call plays. That doesn't
Texas Tech is not great though.
No, but they have had a series of terrible injuries at the quarterback position and elsewhere.
Yeah.
So I believe there is, it's a little more understandable why they're bad. With Baylor, I think that's what I have heard. That generally, like when you're like, man, what is the power outage here? It's that the recruiting pipeline and the people who are starting to show up now are a different type of recruit than the one they were getting when Mr. McGuire was associated with the program. And in Texas, in state, that matters a whole hell of a lot. I wanted to say a quick prayer for Sam Houston.
God.
Oh, my God.
God.
Every week, closer and closer.
Spencer, he's dead.
Okay. That's why I'm praying for him.
Who
knows where he is?
That's the problem?
Okay. Yeah. But no, this is Sam Houston who has lost many games, five games by a single score, including a recent pairing of the 33-27 loss to Florida International and this week's loss to UTEP 37-34. They are currently the kings of pain.
It's not just that they're by a single score. Like, UTEP scored the game-winning field goal with 3 seconds left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, these all keep happening. There are 2 overtime games in here. It's just, it always happens in the stupidest way. That, like, Jacksonville State, I'm pretty sure they were leading until Jacksonville State made some crazy drive to tie the game and send it into overtime. Like, yeah,
just I mean, even
worse. It gets worse by the week. But I have the get right game for you. Their next opponent is an FCS team, a 2-5 FCS team that is intentionally withholding players redshirting in advance of an FBS come up season. We have a tanking FCS team coming to town, the Kennesaw State Owls. So, Sam Houston, your W is on its way.
What if Kennesaw State has been charging up just for this game?
I will feel pretty guilty.
Sam God Houston damn, does seem like a guy who would fight a bunch of owls.
If they had the plan on, and but they saw like 0-8 Sam Houston, they were like, not this week, motherfucker. Nope. Nope, not us.
We're fucking up all the eligibility.
Yeah.
For no reason.
For nothing.
For nothing, because we don't want to be the first win for Sam Houston. No, sir. Not us. The line is drawn here.
Air Force remains Air Force. Undefeated.
30, on course win. For maybe whoever wins this UNLV Fresno game. Could be a hell of a Mountain West title game. With
they can win the Commander in Chief's trophy next week against an Army team that did not look very good.
The AAC's Army, which then lost to UMass.
Yeah, yeah. Air Force is having a kick-ass year.
Without, as Spencer pointed out, I think on last week's show, without actually doing anything super different.
No, this is just a really good version of. An Air Force team that's been about the same for like 12 years. Yeah.
And like so impervious, like there's so many changes that should be completely disqualifying for Air Force. But, you know, all the changes that everyone has had to deal with are hardest for the military schools. In addition to the rules changing, like how the option is blocked.
Like, I think the one difference is the defense is quite good this year. Like going into this week, they were 29th. In F plus, our Army and Navy are nowhere near that. And like the defense was good last year as well, but like I think that is the thing that has helped them weather some of the difficulties that Army and Navy, when you have that side of the ball locked down so well, it feels like you can smooth around some of those edges.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really good. And, They could be a real handful for whoever gets them in a New Year's Six
UNC.
Game
if they make it that far. You mean UNC?
Why would UNC be? Why would UNC get to play Air Force in a bowl?
Do you want to see Gene Chizik defend that?
I'd like to see him defend something after tonight.
Jeez. I'm a bad person, and that's what I want to see.
It would be pretty good. You'd be like, yeah. Air Force had 2,000 rushing yards in a game. It's fucking wild.
Just pointing to it going, all you have to do is count to three. Just count to three. Just dive. Keep pitch. It's that easy.
Eric Dickerson showed up and gave him a medal and everything.
It might be like, without actually mapping it out, the if a Mountain West team is a New Year's Six team, maybe they get like the Pac-12 runner-up or something like that.
Okay.
Jason, not to reveal future plans that may or may not exist, but how long until you start doing your weekly bowl projections, which sustain us all throughout the later season?
Yeah, I have to copy off those.
I haven't done them in a while.
God damn it.
I haven't. maybe I'll do maybe I'll do like playoff New Year's Six picks, but I haven't been doing like the bowl projections.
How will I know who's playing at the Bahamas Bowl in Charlotte?
Yeah, we need this. We need it back. Sorry.
See Stuart Mandel and Scott Docterman at theathletic.com.
Okay, fine.
Stuart Mandel's too rich to talk to me.
Stupid big man, big money Mandel.
I love you, Stuart.
Hey, Auburn won an SEC game. Congrats.
I can't be right.
I would like to. Here's what I will say for Cal. By losing to USC, they successfully deprived us of Auburn having transitive win over USC.
There is that. Also, I want to congratulate Mississippi State fans for again continuing their embrace of tradition by becoming a team that scores only like single digit. Like just the Mississippi State offensive power outage, an homage to those who came before in Starkville.
Yeah, they lost to South Carolina this year. Oof.
Imagine. couldn't be my prestigious team.
What a linchpin South Carolina is.
Tying us all together, keeping us grounded. The foundation, the fundament of the Southeastern Conference.
A real Mendoza line of a team.
Mm-hmm. So wait, is Coastal Carolina the best team in South Carolina now?
Oh, goodness.
Probably Furman, isn't that?
Yeah, or have we checked on Wofford?
Furman's good.
Have we checked on? Someone called him. Now,
listen. They're short-nosed dogs. Their lifespans are unpredictable.
I mean, Coastal's 6-3, and their losses are UCLA, who's good, Georgia State, and Georgia Southern, which is fine. Like, no terrible losses in there. They beat Jacksonville State, who's not bad.
Furman 7-1.
Furman is 7-1. Okay, so let's get Furman and Coastal together and decide the state championship. Let's watch that instead of South Carolina Clemson. Again, I can't emphasize how cursed that game will be.
I would love this, especially in this age of conferences becoming just this giant mishmash. I would love it if we spent like the first couple weeks of December just deciding actual state championships.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, like fuck conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Let's high school this shit.
Yeah.
Because jamboree?
Because what's the one thing that everybody
fucking love a jamboree?
What's the one thing everybody always totes through life? It's not like, you know, oh, I won an SEC championship. It's no, man. Did you win state?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Conferences are fake.
Wyoming's like, oh, I guess it's us.
That's all right. Hey, we did it again, boys.
Congratulations.
Wyoming could invade Air Force or something.
Yeah. Hawaii.
You'll never suspect it.
Hawaii, I'm damn proud of you yet again. You beat BYU Hawaii.
Hawaii invents increasingly elaborate trophies to give themselves.
Why not?
I would. That's the thing to do.
And LSU's just like, well, default went. They're like, hey, there are other teams. Shut up. No, they're not.
There's one that literally calls itself Louisiana. And I understand this is a whole thing there.
Like, you don't take that seriously, do you? We take it very seriously. Jesus Christ.
It's fine.
Let me talk to you about.
Oh, sorry. We have Coastal's video coordinator in the chat who says we would beat the hell out of Furman. I believe you.
100%. Yeah.
Damn. Welcome. You scout.
Did I hear a screenshot?
Are we stealing science from Furman Coastal?
No, I'm just preserving that for later.
Okay. If you need a private investigator to look at those, Ryan, God. I have a suggestion. All right. Somebody who specializes in this.
All right.
DM me. I'll send you the link.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Have we missed anything? Oregon State is winning 17-13 in the fourth quarter. I have no. I feel less confident in the Pac-12 in like who's the best team in the Pac-12 than I did after the Washington Oregon game. Oh, definitely. Wait, and I guess on this week's regular show we'll talk about what the playoff's going to look like. Thank you, Oklahoma, for making it easier.
Yes, that Now there's a pretty tidy top four right now.
I didn't need any confirmation that we were better than every other sports show ever, but I do love that November is rounding the corner. We're like, we should talk about the playoff at some point.
Eh, we don't have to.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
No, I know. I'm just saying I love the attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I do love in the comments. I saw Joey Legend, I see you trying, buddy. He's like, does anyone want to talk about the fuckery that happened in Canadian college football today? And a couple of people are like, no. And he goes, okay.
Listen, it's a community that governs itself.
I'm very proud of all of you for solving your problems.
I love that. Also, Joy Legends, Abby is the Canadian flag.
Yeah. Anybody want to talk about that? Nah. Okay, cool. Thank you for being a responsible guest.
Cal is our Canadian school.
Justin, I hope Justin Wilcox is smash fucking drunk right now.
I cannot believe Pac-12 refs were like, fuck, we gotta tell everybody that we gotta play one more play of the first half in the second. Like, Jesus Christ.
So at some point one of them had to report that to the league.
There has been an unusual ruling.
Like, do you understand Ron Cherry never did that shit?
Dude, have to go back.
Glasses ref never did that shit.
No.
Glasses ref, honestly, every time he opened his mouth, I was like, this man's having a stroke.
There was one year, the closest I can think of is there was one year where there was a TCU game where it was like, okay, the third quarter has ended, go to commercial. and we came back and Big 12 refs revealed, like, okay, actually it's the third quarter all over again. I remember it was a situation where Richard had money on like the under in the third quarter, and then we went back to one more play. And it cost Richard money.
Because what he got for using the phrase vested interest 17 times in one show.
That's true.
That's the closest I can recall to like we returned to a previous.
But even that didn't have a fucking halftime show in between. We
have a goddamn band performance in the middle.
Our guy was fucking sweating.
And they had to sit there all through halftime being like, they're all going to laugh at us.
Can you imagine if that shit happened in the Iron Bowl?
No, the minute they were like, could you put 1 second back on the clock?
Boom!
All the fans,
boom! 1 second,
Nick had asked for 1 second last week, wasn't it? Did you see?
That's true.
Yeah.
As the ref, you have to look at Nick and go, are you sure you want that? You
it's
sure?
Fine. It's a different time now.
Hey, today was Gus Malzahn's birthday. How did we, and Nick was famously born on Halloween, how did we never know during all those Iron Bowls that we were having like a little birthday fight?
Who's born on October 30th, I wonder?
Ooh, let's look this up.
Oh, wait, it's the 29th now, isn't it? Whoops.
I didn't know that we were having like a little, what are they, Scorpios? Are we having a Scorpio fight?
You know who didn't know or celebrate his birthday? Gus Malzahn. I guarantee you. He's like, oh, I'm busy.
He's in Orlando. The Cheesecake Factory probably woke him up. Like, they probably came to his door.
Happy, happy birthday. Today's your special day.
Yeah. Cheesecake Factory in my head replaces all public services in Orlando, including firefighting.
That's true. Yep. My child was delivered by the Cheesecake Factory.
It's certainly on the menu somewhere.
Oh, they can coat your baby in magic shell? That'd be nice.
Like page 78. Delivery, sure.
Yeah, I'd like a cesarean and this enormous shovel full of mediocre pod dye, please.
And on page 900, it says you will put out my house fire.
Okay, I got it. So they dip the baby's feet in like magic shell, and that way while the baby is nursing, you could suck on the baby's feet.
What is the Rumpelstiltskin? Can I order that?
It comes with a price.
All right, we have to go to bed now.
It's $21.95. But there's also a curse. You'll want to order them again.
You'll be back.
You'll have to defend Georgia Tech's rushing attack.
We're so close to sliding off the cliff into the Antioch Herald voice.
And boy.
Any of us have ever done.
I call it the DoorDash offense because, god damn, it's costing me money.
Brian, quick, spider noises. Spider noises in the rain stick. Out.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.